Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds and preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road.
Well, this past week, Jason preached Sunday morning, and he took us to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, and transitioned into chapter 5. It's one of my favorite sections of the Bible where the apostle is really making a whole series of contrasts in here, and we'll kind of highlight some of those in just a minute. But he's talking about the two ways we look at things, the transient lenses and the eternal things. And through these contrasts, it really helps us to get this understanding to see things spiritual. And so, Jason, let's kind of go back through, highlight the sermon, and then let's just kind of pick it apart and talk about some things we can just dig a little deeper into this lesson.
Yeah. As far as New Testament books go, I feel like 2 Corinthians doesn't get talked about maybe as much as a lot of the other New Testament books. It seems like 1 Corinthians, at least just to me, gets mentioned a lot more, but there are so many powerful lessons in 2 Corinthians. We have just read the first few chapters together in our daily Bible reading here at Charlestown Road, and it was a joy for me to go back and just try and draw out some lessons from the first few chapters, as you mentioned, really revolving around 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, where Paul says, talking about disciples of Jesus, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. That may sound confusing here. We'll dig into that in just a moment. But here was the principle. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Transient isn't a word that we use very often. It just means temporary. Transient things, they are just here for a little while, and they don't last. And what a powerful way of describing the things that we can see with our physical eyes. Even though they may appear to be here for the long run, they don't last, right? They are temporary. But there are things that we cannot see with our physical eyes, and those are the things that are eternal. And so I just bounced off of, you know, these eclipse glasses that everybody in our part of the world used a couple of weekends ago, and they are very transient. Most of them have already been thrown away. I had to go digging to make sure we still had a pair of them to bring with me this past Sunday. But to use that as a basic example, okay, what if we put on this pair of glasses, if you will, that Paul is giving us in 2 Corinthians 4 and really tried to deliberately look at temporary things as truly temporary and eternal things as the best, right? The best is what we are focused on as a congregation this year. And rather than, you know, me coming up with my own list, I just started leaning on Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 through 5. And we looked at some transient things. I'll just run down a list here. In chapter 1, verse 12, he talks about earthly wisdom. There's a lot we can gain from earthly wisdom, but it's not going to last. We'll talk about that more maybe in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about disgraceful, underhanded ways. People who deceitfully tamper with God's word. Well, you can do that for a little while, but that is most certainly not going to last. Specifically in 2 Corinthians 4, he talks about us, our physical bodies, our outer selves, our mortal flesh. He compares to jars of clay or tents that are our earthly homes for a little while. Even afflictions, hard times, persecutions, those things are not going to last. And of course, the contrast to that is these eternal things that, Roger, maybe in our discussion, we can dig in a little together.
Yeah, and this is such a valuable lesson because our culture is so outward looking.
Yeah.
It's all about appearance. It's all about what's in the storeroom window. It's all about labels and names and things like that. And so oftentimes that's, first of all, shallow and superficial and very vain. And secondly, it just leaves emptiness on the inside. There's just nothing there. And that's why we see so many of the problems plaguing our culture today, is just because they're looking in the wrong direction. And so I think this is just a paramount lesson to kind of go through that and understand that. I want to just kind of notice here in starting verse 16, going down to chapter 5, verse 1, just a series of contrasts. And he makes a lot of them. He begins in chapter 16 by talking about the outer man and the inner man. What would be other phrases for that? You know, we don't really go to the doctor and say, my outer man is bothering me.
Yeah.
You know, so what do we mean by outer and inner?
Yeah, I would lean maybe on chapter 5, verse 12 to help us understand that he talks about those who boast about outward appearance. So our outer man or woman is what we look like on the outside. Some people boast in the color of their hair or the height of their stature or the shape of their physique, the look of their face. We get that idea, right? I mean, you and I aren't appearing on any covers of People magazine in the grocery store.
Not happening.
But there are lots of people that our culture regards as beautiful. Well, they are worthy of being on magazine covers and billboards because of their outward appearance, right? But Paul is drawing our attention. Really, it goes all the way back to our Old Testaments. God sees not as man sees. Man, with our physical eyes, looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord, here's the contrast, looks at the heart.
So the outer man could be just our physical.
Yeah.
And the inner man's our spirit or our soul. And so in verse 16, the first contrast he makes is the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. They're moving different directions. And all it takes is a little bit of time on this planet to get that. You know, when you're past certain milestone birthdays, you feel like you're still 16 or 20 years old, and your body reminds you you're not 16, you're not 20, you cannot do those things. And so the outer man is decaying, the inner man is getting stronger. Talking about the spirit and the physical side.
Yeah.
The next contrast comes to us in verse 17. He talks about something that's momentary or just for the moment, we may say, contrasted to the eternal. Then he makes another contrast to that which is light, to that which is heavy or weighty. Then he makes a contrast between affliction and glory.
Yeah.
And then he moves on into the next verse by talking about that which is seen and that which is not seen. That really was the driving point of your sermon there. And then as we get to chapter 5, verse 1, he talks about the tent and the house. And again, the tent would be the same thing as the outer man. And then the house would be that which is eternal. And we'll kind of talk about that in just a moment. But one of the things that come out of your lesson that I think is really valuable for us to really stretch here a little bit and talk about is when the apostle says in verse 18, we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen.
Yeah.
And that's just on the surface level, you would think, how can I see what's not seen? I mean, that seems like an impossibility. You know, here, look at this. I can't see what you're looking at. How do you see what's not seen? What's he talking about there?
Yeah, maybe a variety of places we could go, but the passage that immediately comes to my mind is Hebrews chapter 11. We'll talk about what that's all about in just a moment. But one of the examples in Hebrews 11 is of Abraham, how he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise for, and I think this is key, Hebrews 11 verse 10, he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, does that mean that Abraham could somehow see with his physical eyes, his irises and pupils and the nerves that led all the way to his physical brain, could he physically, literally see a city built by God? I don't believe that's what's being described here. If you look at the larger context of Hebrews 11, it is all about faith. And so that is the way that Paul is teaching us to see. Stop looking just with your physical eyes. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness as a matter of priority. And what that does with the mindset and the right priorities is help me focus. I don't have to have physical eyes to focus, right? People who are physically blind can have a great deal of focus of the heart. And I believe that's what Paul is talking about. Get your focus on what is eternal.
To see the spiritual. Just following through that Hebrews passage in chapter 12, he'd say, fixing your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Again, if we take that to a literal sense, Jesus is in heaven, I'm here, I can't see him, but I see him by faith.
Right.
And that's the key he's talking about there. You know, our moms and our grandmas used to teach us, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
and what do they mean by that?
Yeah, well, things are not always what they seem. We might easily write something off or someone off based on how they look or our conception of them, but if Jesus teaches us anything from the standpoint of evangelism, it's our responsibility is to sow the seed, not to make judgments based on how other people look or our conception of them. God is the one who gives the growth. We just sow the seed. Don't write someone off. Don't despise what you think are small, inopportune things. You just do the work. You follow the Lord, you look to things eternal, and let God take care of the results.
Absolutely. I've bought a lot of books through the years just based on the title, only to realize that that was the best part of the book.
Yeah.
After that, the book went downhill.
Or so, a pretty cover that,
pretty
like
cover.
You said, on the inside, it's not worth much.
So good. Yeah. So we're talking about the insides. We're talking about character. We're talking about heart. We're talking about spirituality. That's a concept there. So when the apostle says we look at things not seen, what is it we would see?
Yeah. Well, we see Jesus, like you said, even though we haven't seen him with our physical eyes. We think of what he said to his closest followers, maybe in John chapter 14, on the night of his betrayal. Listen to these words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Why would they be troubled? Well, based on what they could see with their physical eyes, right? But what he's teaching them is, look beyond that. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's just one example, but it is full of things that we can see with eyes of faith.
Well, and I think some of the things with that is, we can see the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
God made these promises. Not only do we just read them in print on our Bible, but our faith sees them, and that God will never desert us, and God will be there for us. And to know those things, those are things you see, not maybe physically, but you see by faith. You see God's grace as he has forgiven you. You see God's love as he has stayed with you, even sometimes when you weren't doing very good.
Yeah.
And so it's those spiritual eyes that make the difference. And for a world that doesn't look that direction, doesn't have those lenses, they're missing out. And all they see is what's on the surface. And oftentimes what's on the surface is not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
And that can be some of the problems we see in our culture today. Down in chapter 5, as this theme still keeps going here in Paul's writings here. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, "For we know that the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." There's two or three things that we need to talk about. What does he mean by the tent and the house?
Yeah, well, even today, you go stay in a tent for a little while, and I don't know of anyone, I'm sure someone is probably out there, but I've never met anyone who said, you know what, as an adult, I'm going to buy a nice tent, and I'm just going to live in that for the rest of my life. Even in our culture, 2,000 years after this was written, we understand tents can serve a purpose, but we talk about them, we use them as temporary things. We think of buildings as permanent things.
Right, and so the tent can be taken down and moved. And that's how we go camping. We throw it in the car, we go to some campsite, we put up the tent, we're done, take it down, put it back in our car, and we go back home. So what does Paul mean by the tent? What is he talking about here?
Yeah, I believe he's talking about our earthly bodies. And in chapter 4 and 5, he is using a wide variety of ways to describe, okay, life in these bodies is going to be difficult for a little while. You're like a jar of clay that can be dropped, cracked, shattered, right? Jars can hold valuable things, but they're not exactly permanent. Tents aren't permanent. Therefore, our outer selves aren't permanent. That's why we shouldn't judge anybody, chapter 5, verses 12, verse 16, based simply on their outward appearance. The most important thing about the people we see even today is not what they look like on the outside. It's who they are, created in the image of God, that's on the inside.
So that's the tent. So the house, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, is what?
Yeah. Well, I think that there are a couple of things that can probably fit in there. Contrasting to our physical bodies, Paul, I think, is talking in terms of resurrection, right? He does that a lot in his first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Remember, that's where he talks about what is sown in the earth, what we bury in the ground is physical, it is temporary, it is here, and then it is gone, but what is raised is eternal. He talks about our bodies that are going to be raised, how they're going to be different, but also we heard Jesus in John 14 talk about a place prepared, right, by the Father. We heard Hebrews 11, Abraham was looking to a city built by God. The last book of the Bible serves a great purpose in drawing the attention of disciples to life right now may be hard. You may even lose your life, but that is not the end. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.
But this verse begins, chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know."
Yeah.
How do we know this?
Well, Jesus told us so. And he is the one who came out of the grave. Therefore, we ought to listen to him.
So it's like that little children's song, "For the Bible tells me so." That's
exactly
the answer.
Yep.
And so for a person who doesn't go to God's word, they don't know this.
Right.
And so they are going to be completely physical thinking, attracted to physical. Everything is one-dimensional with them.
Yeah.
And the horror of death petrifies them because they don't know what's on the other side. They don't know if there is anything on the other side. And so that really gets them to see that, you know, we could know, but they don't know because they haven't spent time with Jesus. And that again reminds us how important it is to spend time in our Bible. There's things that we will know, and from that we will see what God wants us to see in this regard.
Yeah.
So down in verse 7 of chapter 5, again, an aspect you talked about here when we talked about the eternal things, the unseen things, the things of grace and truth and the gospel, as you kind of walk through that list there. He says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And what does that mean? What does that look like today?
Yeah, well, it is faith, according to Hebrews 11, the substance of things hoped for. So I'm not hoping just in the sandcastles of this world or my outward appearance. I'm not hoping in the mortal flesh or the tent, right, that is our earthly home or anybody else's. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's what Jesus has taught us to hope for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And so I need to learn to look with eternal lenses, right? And I love how he uses the word walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. I mean, think about how much we walk by sight. We get ourselves in trouble when we're not walking by sight, right? We're in a busy city and we close our eyes and we just start walking and we're going to run into either concrete or brick or some person, right? You try and walk across a dark room that you're unfamiliar with in the middle of the night and you're probably going to stub your toe or something worse, right? But walking by faith, that is a lifestyle, right? It is not a Sunday activity. It is a way of life. Jesus has taught me what to hope in. Jesus has taught me what to prioritize above all. He has bid me follow him and trust that where he is leading me is the best, and so I am going to dedicate myself as a disciple for life.
And so that's going to color and influence my choices.
Everything, yeah.
Because I'm not just going to say, ooh, look at the glitter of this, I want this. I'm going to be looking at things through faith. Is this going to help me get closer to Jesus? Is this going to hurt me spiritually? What's this going to do? And whether it's picking out a TV show to watch, a movie to watch, whether it's a friend I'm going to include in my life, all those things are going to be built upon this idea that I measure things spiritually.
Yeah.
That's the compass of my life now. I walk by faith. And that faith will teach me that there are certain things out there I need to be away from. God warns me. There's certain things that's going to help me get closer to God. I need to pursue those things. And so rather than just going after the job that's going to make the most money, I've talked to people through the years, and I can make more money by working on Sundays. Yeah, you probably can. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Can't go to worship, can you? And have you thought about that? Sight and faith. That's the difference in there. Someone gives you opportunity to go to some, you know, event, but maybe there's just tons of lewdness and alcohol and all kinds of bad influences. But what a great thing. I got free tickets to go to this. Sight and faith.
Yeah.
You see? So when we walk by faith, it's not just taking me to the church house on Sunday morning. It's every day. It's every day when I'm at work and the boss comes up and he wants you to change a few numbers, even though it's dishonest, just to kind of make the company looks better, faith and sight. He's looking at sight. You're looking at faith. And so those are some of the things that really is going to come out of this. And that's what the apostle was saying. This is how we see things that are unseen. We are looking at them through faith.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference.
In the language of chapter 5, verse 15, I'm no longer living for myself. I'm living for the one who died and was raised.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a great lesson. It's a great reminder for us. It flows so well with our second quarter theme. You know, our theme this year is to bring the best. And this quarter, we're looking at things on the inside.
Yeah.
And the inside is walking by faith. It's having the eyes to see the unseen. And so, again, this is on our website. I really encourage you to listen to this. Listen to it a second time. It will help you. And it will remind you of where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be looking at. And sometimes we get impressed with things that just do not impress God. And that is a good reminder about these things.
I appreciate it. And of course, it is Wednesday. We have the opportunity to grow in our faith even this evening. We have Bible classes for all ages at 7 o'clock p.m. Roger, you're going to be teaching in the auditorium.
We are in our series on attitudes of excellence, and we're going to be talking about godly thinking in this culture we live in today.
In our Building Blocks track of studies, we have just launched a study of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Tonight, we're going to look at that classic account of Joshua and the children of Israel approaching the city of Jericho and how God told them to overthrow that city. Even though it's an ancient account, there are a lot of things that can be learned from that. Whoever you are, whatever the age, we've got Bible classes for you, and we would love to see you tonight. Roger, this Sunday morning, you've got the opportunity to preach.
Yeah, we started a series last Sunday evening talking about deep roots, and that was something that came out of our gospel meeting with Dan Langford. He mentioned that phrase, and I just love that phrase. And we're talking about how do we establish deep roots. And so we kind of introduced it last Sunday night. This week, we're going to be going onward, and we're going to look at layers of faith based on the book of Philippians. And so that's kind of where we're going.
Excellent. At 5 o'clock p.m., we're going to talk about an appalling and horrible thing. I'm just going to leave it at that. Those aren't my own words. Those are words that come straight out of the Bible, but there are some lessons there that we need to learn. Whatever you have going on this week, these are great opportunities to put on those eternal lenses and look in the way that our Father in heaven is teaching us to look. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. It would be great to see you tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.